US pressure has prompted Israel to commit to allowing more food and other supplies into Gaza. In what was described as a tense 30-minute conversation with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, President Biden, for the first time, leveraged US aid to influence the conduct of the war. Israel was told continued support was conditional on specific concrete steps to boost aid and prevent civilian deaths. But while the president repeated his call for a negotiated deal that would result in an immediate ceasefire and the release of hostages taken by Hamas, the White House stopped short of saying directly that he might limit US arms supplies if not satisfied. CNN reported just yesterday that the Biden administration recently authorised the transfer of over 1,500-pound bombs and over 1,000 smaller bombs to Israel. Criticism of the killing of the seven World Central Kitchen aid workers continues. Among the dead was Jacob Flickinger, a Canadian-American citizen. His parents told the BBC's Tom Bateman they do not accept Israel's explanation that it was a tragic mistake.
The IDF continued firing on trucks that were clearly marked with the bright logo of the World Central Kitchen. They continued firing until all the aid workers were dead. If it is a tragic accident, as they claim, then I think the IDF is inept and incompetent.
Do you accept that explanation that they've given so far, that this was, they say, a mistake?
No, I think it's a joke. I mean, they're saying it in order to protect their own self.
When you heard the Israeli Prime Minister say that this happens in war in relation to the death of your son and these other aid workers, what went through your mind?
That's an irresponsible comment. Anyone looking at the situation when you have 200 aid workers killed delivering, in the process of delivering food aid to a starving population, what does that look like to you? It looks like using food as a weapon.
And for more from Jerusalem Now, I'm joined by Dan Williams, senior correspondent with Reuters. And Dan, to stay with the killing of the World Central workers, is there any sign of that promised investigation that various IDF personnel had said would be there within days?
Well, yes, according to Israeli authorities, it's proceeding apace. Findings, according to the Israeli military, were presented to the top general in the military, as well as the prime minister and the defense minister yesterday evening. And according to the military, they will then be shared with the ambassadors representing the countries that lost citizens in those killings, in that airstrike in Gaza. And after that, will be made public. So to judge from the timeline given by the Israeli military yesterday, the details from that investigation should be available for everyone to scrutinise within days.
It's being prepared, as I understand it, by retired military and others. They say it's at a remove from the IDF and government, but it's hardly independent, is it?
Arguably not. The military says this is an independent body working within the Israeli defence structure, meaning officers or ex-officers not directly involved in the chain of command. But you heard certainly from the interview you just played, I imagine there'll be a number of people, especially those bereaved, who will not be satisfied by that and would want a clearly external agency looking at this incident.
Let's look at what is happening or what it's hoped will happen today with the delivery of more aid. If we remember back to October, rock solid and unwavering was what President Biden said then in relation to American support for Israel. Has there now been a step change in that support?
I think that's definitely a fair assessment. The cracks in the alliance have appeared going back weeks, and now they appear to be widening publicly to the point where, apparently, as a result of U.S. pressure and the conversation between U.S. President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday, Israel appears to have backed off a core pledge of its that it made public at the beginning of the war, whereby it would no longer be responsible for overland aid or humanitarian or commercial traffic into Gaza. Basically, Israel wants at the conclusion of this war to have nothing to do with civilian management of the Gaza Strip. And now it's taken a step back by agreeing in what it calls a temporary measure to allow aid to be offloaded in its southern port of Ashdod and transported overland into the Gaza Strip. Also, the reopening temporarily, the Israelis say, of the Erez crossing the main foot traffic crossing into the Gaza Strip from Israel, which it might be worth mentioning was ravaged by Hamas in the October 7th attack. Indeed, Israeli officials in briefing journalists have taken to showing new footage, showing gunmen really bundling and bursting through that Erez Junction as part of their rampage on October 7th that triggered the war. So the reopening of Erez is a very sensitive point for Israel. The Israelis will see this as a major concession. And, of course, the Biden administration will say it's simply what's necessary to increase the intake of aid that's very much needed in the Gaza Strip.
And, Dan, is there any sign that they are backing off publicly or even privately from that promised incursion, that ground offensive into Rafah?
That is a major sticking point between Israel and the United States, Israel and the West, actually. Israel publicly is saying that there is no way of achieving this war, completing the war, without going into Rafah. It's compared ending the war without going into Rafah to a fire brigade retreating from a house after putting out only 80% of the fire. But then again, there are over a million displaced Palestinians there. The Americans have been putting pressure on Israel to present a credible plan for evacuating them before any major incursion. And there does not appear to be any serious preparation on that. The number of forces, Israeli ground forces in Gaza, have been reduced by up to 75%. And clearly that evacuation, that movement of civilians, if they were to cooperate at all, is something that would take potentially weeks or months. So if it does happen, it's certainly not imminent.
Pressure too on the Israeli military, just briefly, to brace themselves for retaliatory action from Iran.
Yes, as of yesterday, Israelis have actually been on a peculiar war footing, obviously by the standards of a war now almost 6 months old, panic buying of generators of food supplies, given Iran's public but not especially detailed threats to avenge what it called an Israeli airstrike that killed two of its generals and five support staff in Damascus, the Syrian capital, in the vicinity of the Iranian embassy there, and the Iranian embassy compound. Israel seems to be taking this very seriously. It's drafted reserves for its air defenses, it's cancelled leave for combat troops, and even yesterday, GPS navigation for Israeli motorists in central Israel was actually scrambled in what the military called a precaution, presumably against guided missiles using GPS on their way to strike Israel. Mm-hmm. The big question is, would Iran carry out a direct attack from Iranian territory? And if so, would Israel retaliate and escalate, mm-hmm. or would it leave it at that?
Dan Williams in Jerusalem, thank you for your time this morning.